How you doing? It's Zach Cassidy.
Adam Henry.
Bobby Jones.
Jeff Jarrett.
Joe Siddle.
TJ Laramie. And
Holy Mackinac. You're listening to Wind City Sports.
Yo, what up, everybody? My name is Victor Moore, and thank you for streaming or downloading this episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast. Wind City Sports is Windsor's only local sports radio show and podcast, live on CJAM 99.1 FM every Thursday at 12:30, and you can hear replays on Tuesdays at 8 p.m., and you can catch every episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast, wherever you're listening to it now, of course, but we are on every major platform, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We also have our own website, windcitysports.com, and you can catch us on the brand new Border City Podcast Network. We also have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. We're going to tell you how to access that as well as the podcast again at the end of the show, as we normally do. But today is Thursday, July 25th, 2019, and it's episode 155 of Wind City Sports. And this week on Wind City Sports, we're going back to hockey. I was going to leave it off for an extra week, but it kind of worked out better to do it this way. So joining the pod this week is another former Windsor Spitfire who grew to be assistant captain after 5 years with the Spits. Not too often that happens, that you get to spend all of your to play all 5 years and to spend it all in the same place. This guy was a leader on the team, leader on the Spitfires on and off the ice. He played at a critical time for the Spits between 2001 and 2005. Ran through a couple different eras, as we talk about. He's now a coach and coaching an ECHL team. We talk about that as well. Recently retired just about 4 years ago from the ice is John Scott Dixon. You might remember him from the Barn. Obviously, so during that time, I do remember him. But I did reach out to some people to help me out a little bit and give me a little bit more insight if there's anything specific I could ask him. And Bob Murray from the Ontario Hockey League alumni page on both Twitter and Facebook, give him look him up if you haven't already. But he gave me some interesting insight, because although I do remember him, I was a very young kid at the time going to those games at the Barn. So one thing that I forgot to mention that I do remember about him is that we had John Scott Dixon, D-I-C-K-S-O-N, and Jason Dixon, D-I-X-O-N. So I'd always, Dixon and Dixon, but anyway, let's get on to more important things. Later on the show, we're going to have a little bit of sports news and upcoming events. This past weekend, we did have Impact Wrestling at St. Clair College, brought to you by Border City Wrestling. If you haven't already seen it, check out my YouTube video with RVD, Rob Van Dam. We'll talk about that later on also. But pretty much everything that happened at the tapings, we're going to save for next week on the podcast. But really quickly, before we jump over into that interview with John Scott Dixon, a former Windsor Spitfire, I want to tell you about Border City Wrestling's next event, which is going to be BCW Heatwave 2019, August 25th. At the Tecumseh Legion in Tecumseh, Ontario. Tickets were just released. I think actually they're going to be released today on Thursday, but the event was just announced on Tuesday from Border City Wrestling's Facebook. It's going to feature all of your local Border City Wrestling superstars. I'm not sure who else they will bring in, if anyone, maybe one good star, but it's going to be a specific Border City show at the Tecumseh Legion on August 25th. Tickets are already available on eventtribe.ca. Or you can go to bordercitywrestling.com. We'll have more on that next week on the show. But without further ado, let's jump over to former Windsor Spitfire John Scott Dixon. All right, so on the phone right now, our next guest was born in North York, Ontario, according to HockeyDB. They have been wrong before with stuff that I'm doing research, but he spent his junior career with our Windsor Spitfires all 5 seasons here in Windsor. Went on to play pro for nearly 10 years in the AHL, CHL, and ECHL. Also played for the University of New Brunswick, and is now the head coach of the Kansas City Mavericks, John Scott Dixon. Welcome to Wind City Sports, man.
Appreciate you having me. Exciting.
Absolutely. So, obviously, I remember you from your time here in Windsor, and I want to know, what's your earliest memory of kind of coming to the organization or to the city at all?
It would have been all the rookies come in, you go to the workout place and do your testing there. So I remember driving down with my parents from we were in Scarborough at the time where I lived. Pretty much grew up. I was born in North York, but pretty much grew up in Scarborough. And I remember driving down, and we stopped in Woodstock at my grandmother's, and then drove in the next day. And then we had fitness testing and introduction and all that good stuff. So that's really what I remember. My first time I was ever in Windsor.
Yeah, that's probably your first day on the job, right? That's the thing that people don't realize too, is that you're probably, what, 15, 16 years old, coming down from another city to basically play hockey, right? And you came into a team, a stacked team with, you know, Steve Ott, Jason Spezza, just to name a few.
Yeah, that was, I was 16 at the time and leaving home for the first time. So, you're coming in, you have guys like Steve Ott, and at the time we had a veteran group. Billy Sewell was on the team then, Kyle Chapman, Mark Rideout at one point, Leighton was on the team. So we had a pretty veteran team, and myself and Matt McEachran, who was the first round draft pick that day. We came in as rookies, Rob Henniger, Dave Bowman, guys like that. So came into a veteran team. Craig Mahon was the captain, and we had a great time with those guys. Those guys are great leaders, great older guys to be around. We had no problems at all with them. And I know there's some things going around junior hockey, but I have nothing but great things to say about my first year in Windsor. They were great people, great young men to be involved with this organization, and I think they treated all of us, equally. We were rookies and had to do the bus duties, all that fun stuff, but they were great guys and showed us the way when we became veterans in Windsor.
Yeah, it's very true, and we'll get into that because, you kind of spanned over those two eras with the Spits. Yourself, you were one of the mainstays. Like I said, stayed there your whole 5 years, but I was changing the guard, kind of with that Ott Spezza era and then the Steve Downey led era. But by the end of it, I mean, I think your last year you were leading the team. Did you feel that you kind of developed as a player given your experiences with the Spits?
Yeah, I kind of, in my last couple of years, kind of those guys, like you said, are kind of on their way out, whether they're getting drafted and moving up the American League, NHL. But, you kind of last, year four, year five, now you're looked at to kind of lead the organization and, lead the way the guys before us did, right? So, and it's when you have those guys that led that way, it's easy to kind of pass that on. And, some hiccups here and there and some things, I guess, happened when I was gone, but definitely, the way it goes sometimes, and can't control everything. You got to control, the things when you're there, and what we did when we were, I guess, the older group of guys. But, you learn from some good guys, and, we kind of went through some coaches and stuff like that. But, I was lucky enough to stay there for 5 years and built a lot of great relationships there.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I've been saying this a lot on the show, but just talking to, past players, it's all about what you kind of take out of the experience, right? Whatever you kind of see it as when you reflect back, that's pretty much what it is to you, right? So it's all about what you take about out of the experience.
Yeah, no, for sure. And again, that city was, Windsor was great to me. I had a great time there. It was very, very well. Again, met a lot of great people and lived with the same family for 5 years and treated like one of their own. And that's always a good thing, makes it an easy transition, when you leave home. And then, obviously 5 years there is a long time. So, I met a lot of great people, a lot of great relationships, and still communicate with people to this day. And lucky to have spent my time in Windsor for 5 years. It doesn't happen too often.
Mm-hmm.
You get to spend 5 years in a junior city. So it seems like it's been like that for my whole career, which I'm kind of proud of. I didn't bounce around to a lot of teams in junior and went to school for a bit, and then a couple teams in the ECHL, but then found a place here in Kansas City.
That's awesome, man. I mean, the OHL itself, the dynamic is very unique, and every year can be different, and every team can be different. Like you mentioned, I like how you named off a lot of those guys, but guys might be going up to the AHL, NHL, they might be going elsewhere, they might be done playing hockey, they might be going to another team, but it was cool that you mentioned all those guys. Like Mark Rideout and Matt McEachran, who's now, I think he's a big shot, not NHL, Nike salesman. There's guys like that you remember, but when you look back on the list, there's all these NHLers too. So that's, the dynamic is very cool.
Yeah, I mean, and like you mentioned, Otter and Gleason and, the Spezza, was a big trade thing there with Wellwood as well, kind of that little twist. I know the trade was to Mississauga at the time, and then kind of at the end of that, it was for Wellwood to Belleville. So was with a lot of good guys, and Leighton and Ned and Corey Campbell was a goalie we had. It was unbelievable at the time, and just a lot of guys that I remember. It's funny because I think about it every so often. I'm still involved in hockey and very lucky to still be involved. And I think about some of those times back in the day, and it's funny to think of some of the guys and wonder what they're doing. And even a guy like Frank Sinicori, who is, you know, a guy that played his heart out for Windsor, and we just kind of connected on social media. And nothing big, but it was kind of like, okay, hey, how's it going? And that's about it. But a guy that I hung out with a little bit my first year, and just kind of fun to think about those times and hope everyone is doing well.
Yeah, I mean, connections are everything, right? And especially in a world like hockey. I was going to ask if you kept in touch with a lot of people from the Spits.
A few here and there, yeah. I stood in Rob Henninger, Dave Bowman's wedding. When I went to the University of Brunswick, Craig Mahon was there.
Yeah.
Got to play with him. And like I said, those little social media things. Nothing big with Steve Ott, so I'm not going to try to pretend anything, but I sent him a text message after they won the Cup, and, you know, just congratulating him. And I was like, hey, thank you very much. You know, little things like that. So
yeah.
It's not, you know, hanging out and doing whatever. It's just kind of, you know, I guess if you're passing by, Quape is more so than anything.
Mm.
But, you know, you always have those guys that you have some memories with and some fun times that you have.
Absolutely, man. Just those small things make a big difference, right? Like I said, just a small conversation on social media is cool to connect with someone, right?
Yeah, it's you know, that social media brings a lot of people together, and whether it's, you know, you kind of, I guess, continue a long-lasting friendship and you're hanging out every day, or just something to say hi, or, oh, you know, congratulations on something. It's usually positive things that people are posting on social media, right? So, you know, those things are always good to see, and it's people that you do have that connection with on social media, it's good to see that they're doing well, and just again brings back memories that that you had when pretty neat time in your life. You're 16 to 20 years old, living with a family you just meet, and but again, you mentioned hockey and the relationships that you have. It's you know, they're some of your best friends in life, and it's kind of what you try to pass on to some guys. As you know, you teach the younger guys here what it's about, and you know, those relationships you build, your best friends usually are the ones that you played hockey with. So it's always good to connect with those guys.
Absolutely, man. That's why I always like to go back and talk to a guy like yourself who was on the Spits for many years, and we remember playing at the Barn. But speaking of, you know, connecting with people on social media, I reached out to a fellow, I'm not sure if you know him, by the name of Bob Murray. He runs the OHL alumni Facebook page. I wanted to try and find some specific questions about your time here in Windsor, and he gave me a good little insight from Game 7 of, I think it would be the first round of 2005 playoffs against the Sioux. I'm wondering what you remember here from that game. Went to double overtime, and you scored the game winner with 33 seconds into the period.
Yeah, I mean, I still live on those days, let me tell you. we were down 3-0 in that series.
Yeah.
So, you know, coming back from that series, you know, I believe we were down, I think, game five, went to overtime. I scored the overtime winner game five. I believe Steve Downey scored the winner in game six, and then a double overtime in game seven. I mean, it was just kind of a quick play. I believe it was Mitch Mount who brought it around the net and kind of threw it out in front of the net. And I was just going to the net, doing what I was supposed to do. Not a fancy player, go to the net, right? So squirted it out, and I just threw it from an angle, and it went in. So it was... it was a great memory. I mean, especially when you're down 3-0 to a pretty good team. They had a
mm-hmm.
pretty good, you know, group of players there in the Sioux, and you know, it happened to be the year that the next round we ended up playing the London Knights, who were a pretty historic team. So, you know, that but there's still good memories there, and to kind of battle back and have that, you know, I guess in your memory bank of, you know, you battle, you keep battling, you keep pushing, and you kind of use that as some motivation. And you know, throughout my career, I've definitely used that. It's just I never quit, and there's proof of it there. We were down 3-0, like I've mentioned. Just keep plugging away, keep grinding out, and you never know. You take it game by game. It sounds so cliche, and everyone makes fun of the hockey way of the cliche on TV and the interviews and whatnot. But you know, it's so true. There's nothing you can do. You got to keep battling shift by shift, and that's all you can do in the game of hockey. You just got to keep plugging away, and game by game, shift by shift, and people don't like those answers, but that's just the way it goes.
It's true, right? Like, it's just the truth at the end of the day. And just, I just want to give you the little write-up that he has here from that game. He's been following the OHL for a very long time. I think this is probably his own words, J.S. Dixon was the Spitfires' hero in an epic OHL playoff comeback versus the Jeff Carter-led Sioux Greyhounds. So that's why you mentioned it had to have been a stacked team with him leading it, right? Coming back from a 0-3 deficit to win the series, Spitfires 3, the Sioux 2 in double OT. John Scott Dixon scored 33 seconds into the second overtime period to give the Windsor Spitfires a 3-2 win over the Greyhound Sioux. The Greyhounds in Game 7 of their Western Conference. The first team to do so since the 1988 Oshawa Generals.
Yeah, no, and I believe, I could be mistaken, obviously I will be corrected. I think Windsor did it again, did they not?
Because they did that 2010 against Kitchener.
Pretty neat to hear that stuff, and I always say it's a guy kind of, you know, as you kind of joke around with guys and like, I'll stop living in the past, or, you know, it's kind of, you know, let it go. But I kind of bring that stuff up because, again, we were down 3-0 against we were the 7th seed, I believe, that year, and against a pretty good team. And, you know, we ended up coming back down 3-0 to win. And we had some good players on our team as well. But, you know, that's always a joke with me. I kind of say I used to have it back in the day a little bit. But no, pretty neat hearing that, and honestly, I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember the bus ride home. I remember talking about when we're going to start. And London just wanted to start the series right away, so we ended up starting that London series at home, being fun. So I remember all that, and it's pretty neat to hear that little write up.
Yeah, man, that's the thing. It's cool to reminisce about these things. Like you said, if you're looking to go forward and make some progress, yeah, it's, you know, don't dwell in the past, but every once in a while, it's great to reminisce about those days. And that brings me to my last thing, at least with the Spitfires realm, is do you miss going to the barn on a daily basis?
Yeah, I mean, that was a different place to play. I mean, I know there was talk coming in to my, you know, to being drafted, and there was talk of having a new arena by, you know, my second year, and whatever that talk was. But at the same time, I mean, I know that being, you know, the home team there and talking to guys after the fact and after the career was done, guys coming into that rink, it wasn't a fun rink to visit. And that's exactly, you know, that's exactly what you want when you're the home team. You don't want the visiting team to be comfortable coming into your rink. And I'll never forget one of the loudest I've ever heard it was actually when Steve Ott scored his 50th on the penalty shot. That was definitely one of the loudest times I've ever heard that rink, maybe even close to any rink I've ever been in, because of how small and on top of mm-hmm. they were in that rink, right? So, but I remember that countdown of that, 3 hat tricks in a row and then a penalty shot goal for the 50th. That was a memory that, you know, was lots of memories, but like the barn that night was, the building was moving, I think, when all that was going down. It was pretty crazy. And again, I'm very happy that I got to spend 5 years in that arena. You know, I'm not really too disappointed about a new rink or not. I had a great time in that rink, and when it was bumping, that was a top-notch place to play.
Absolutely, man. That's why we love to reminisce about the barn days. It's great to hear that stuff too, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So, if I'm not mistaken, by the time you're done your junior career, you go on undrafted, but in the 2005-06 season, it was spent between the Alaska Aces in the ECHL and the University of New Brunswick, like you had mentioned. So what was the situation there? Were you playing in the East Coast and then decided to go to school, or are you able to do both?
Yeah, you know, when you go to play Major Junior, it's OHL, Quebec League, WHL. You get, you know, every year you play in the year of school and paid for. So, you know, that's how it competes with players going to the NCAA, as I'm sure there's been a lot of those stories going on mm-hmm. over the years, since I've left. But you know, you kind of make that decision to go to pro hockey, and then you know, you kind of have, you know, the thoughts of, okay, well, pro ECHL is always going to be here. You can make that step when you're done, and having, you know, Rob Henniger and Craig Mahon were at the University of New Brunswick at the time, so they had reached out around November, and they just wanted to see what the thoughts were and kind of what I was thinking going forward. And having those guys there, the top, you know, top character that they have, that, you know, you want to be around those guys and the program that they were putting together. And obviously now it's a pretty well-known program and a winning program, and that's kind of a place you want to be and grow. So thought it was the best case for me. Went to school, and
Learned a lot there, especially with how that program was run. And Gardner McDougal did and has got an unbelievable job there in what he gets out of you as a man and what he believes in, and that rubs off on you as a human being. Definitely not perfect, but there's definitely a lot of things I learned from my time in Fredericton. And again, another great city. The East Coast, the Maritime people are unbelievable people, and seems to be anywhere you go with the hockey, especially connected. It's one big family feeling, and I was very lucky again to win a couple national championships there, and learn a lot from players I played with, and of course Coach McDougal.
That's awesome, man. I was going to ask actually if Mahan had, obviously being a connection there, if he kind of helped recruit you or kind of get you over. That's one of the things that it seems to happen, and it does seem like obviously your mind was made up and you stayed there for another, 4 or 5 years. It seemed like you had a great experience there too, right?
Yeah, and those guys, again, I think Mahan had his fair share of hecklers while he was in Windsor, but, that is what it is, that guy is one of the best guys you'll ever meet. Unbelievable human being, a very hardworking man. I think a lot of guys that ended up going to University of New Brunswick, it was great for them. I think it showed them a lot of things that they could do that maybe they think maybe they thought they couldn't do, right? So having those guys there and knowing that they were good guys with Rob Henninger as well, it was a great choice, great decision. To make that step, and I don't regret any of that.
That's awesome, man, because it's thriving now, and back then, obviously, it was a different time, right? So I'm sure you probably wanted to go pro, and the college level was like, I don't know, the perception of it, at least.
Yeah, and definitely, that's right there, the perception. It's at that time, there wasn't a lot of guys. I mean, there was, but there wasn't a lot of guys that were coming out afterwards, and they were going to the ECHL, the American League and the NHL. And now, I mean, you're looking, there's guys that are signing NHL contracts right out of the CIS, right? So the league is definitely a very good league to play in. And I know they're a little bit older, but, we went down and would play a bunch of, American schools and stuff like that and play some American Hockey League teams and compete really well. So, I think that's something that, some guys that are weighing that decision, you'll have to look at obviously the program they're going to and what they're about and where they've been and where they want to go. But, for the University of New Brunswick, it's the top in the country, and that's a place that guys should, and guys do. I mean, I'm sure they're packed with players wanting to go there every year, but that'd be my number one choice and my recommendation to guys that are coming out of major junior.
Absolutely, man. There's a lot of options, and that kind of leads me to where I want to go next, actually. So fast forward a little bit to the 2009-10 season is when you're actually wrapping up with New Brunswick, but you played in the AHL with Rochester, the Americans, and you played in the ECHL with the Idaho Steelheads. So what's the story there? Did you have like a AHL deal that ultimately led you to the coast? Like, how are you kind of between the three teams?
Finished up that last year of school, and then just have people behind the scenes making calls for you, and someone that I'd known for a while had a connection to Idaho, but I had an opportunity to go on one of those amateur tryouts to Rochester. So obviously that's the next step, it's the next level, one level away from the NHL. So decided to do that. It was 9 games, and that year Rochester is a veteran team, they're a little bit older team, so played 9 games and did well, but at the end of the day, the playoffs came, and they were probably going to keep me as a black ace, but I decided that, that year Idaho had a bye in the playoffs. I think they won the league that year. And then I ended up flying from Rochester to Boise, Idaho, and jumped right in to the second round of the playoffs. They didn't have a first round, as I mentioned, so they had a bye. So jumped right into the second round of the playoffs and had a really good run there. Great coach there, Derek Blackstall, was the coach at the time. He's in Texas now. He was the guy that brought me in there and gave me some minutes and, played with some really good players there, made a good run, and ended up losing in the finals to Cincinnati that year. So that was something that was a great experience. Got to jump into pro hockey and go on a playoff run with a really good team. Get some experience that way, and then I ended up going back there the year after for half the year, and then then was traded and got to experience the pro life of being traded and bouncing around the country a little bit. So that was interesting as well.
Yeah, for sure. And that's pretty much when your pro career kind of started to take off. You know, you played a good 5 years between ECHL and the CHL. But ultimately, you decided to retire, obviously, and step onto the bench. You immediately started coaching with then the Missouri Mavericks, who I'm assuming moved to Kansas. And was that part of how the decision was made? Did you know that you could move into a coaching role with the same team and like, stay in the game? Was that part of the decision?
For me, it's always been, I've always had that in the back of my mind. I felt like, you know, when I played, I believed, you know, whether it's believe or not, I believe that I could think the game, had a hockey IQ, and would always try to, you know, well on the ice, was very vocal, I believe played the right way, you know, wanted to win, and became a winner at school, and you know, we had some times in junior, but, you know, really won that two national championships at New Brunswick. And I just felt that, I thought I could, you know, come into coaching and thought it was something that I could do and was very interested in. And as my time, you know, kind of started to get to the end here and getting a little bit older and, you know, how it goes, you get older, a little bit slower, you're a little bit more sore in the morning when you wake up. So I was a player coach my last year here in Kansas City, kind of was in and out of the lineup and was on the bench as a coach. So it's kind of, that was a, you know, not confusing, but it was a different year, just with the fact that, okay, now you're playing with these guys and then now you're kind of on the bench and you're, you know, running the D a little bit. So, you know, for me, it was something I wanted to do. And then right after that fourth year, I became a full-time assistant coach. And, you know, coach at the time was Richard Mapichuk. We had a great year that year. Ended up, I think, losing 15 games and ended up losing in the second round. And Coach Mapichuk got opportunities with a season like that. He got some opportunities and ended up going to the WHL. And as soon as that happened, I put my name in, you know, to apply for the head coaching job. I went through an interview process, a couple interviews, third interview, and then you know, I got the job. I'm very, very fortunate to, you know, then going into my ninth year living in the Kansas City area. And, you know, in pro hockey, it's you know, pretty uncommon for that to happen. So I'm, you know, I'm very lucky, and I have a family now, wife and two kids. So. It's something that, you know, I don't take for granted, that's for sure.
That's fantastic, man. I like what you mentioned about going through the interview process and just like a normal, pretty much job, right, in getting the position as the head coach. Did you feel that was beneficial to you? Like, obviously, you could have potentially been handed the job, but to go through all those basically, you know, hoops and whistles to do it, did you feel like it paid off?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that's experience, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's something you want to go through. And even now, you know, a couple interviews here and there, you know, phone-wise for American League jobs is even something that, you know, you want to do and go through just so you can have that experience, right? And that's something that I'm glad. And you know, I knew that that's, you know, they weren't just going to give me the job.
Mm-hmm.
How they run things here in Kansas City is top-notch for the EPHL and how they want to, you know, operate, and they went through the process, you know, the way they should have, and I think that, you know, I wouldn't want it any other way. I wouldn't want them just to hand it over.
Yes.
You know, you go through the interview process and see what other people have. There's going to be lots of good candidates for the job, and ultimately, you know, I think it came down to care for the organization, which, you know, I played the right way for this organization, and I think that, you know, obviously the experience wasn't there, but the only way to get experience is to kind of go through it, right? So, you know, they gave me that opportunity, and I think as I should, and as people should every day, every year, I think I've gotten better, and you learn little things here and there, right? So
mm-hmm.
it's been a good 3 years, going on 4 years here, and you know, you want to build it, and a word culture is thrown around a lot, and, you know, team identity and stuff like that, but like I said, with the cliches of, you know, after a game, those things are all true. It's how you want to run your team, how the organization wants to be run, and I think over the last 3 years we've really grown in that aspect, and we're known as one of the hardest working teams, hard team to play against, and heard that from players that we've played against and trying to recruit them and other coaches. So and that's what I want, team identity and you know, what we want here are good people, and I think that goes a long way into, you know, team success.
Absolutely, man. It's more about, maybe not more about, but it's not all about what happens on the ice, right? Like, even to allude to getting the job, you know, it's obviously more fulfilling when you do the work, rather if it's something on the ice or off the ice, if you're a player or if you're just trying to get a job.
So you pay attention to the details and work hard. I mean, you're not going to win every game, but as long as the work's there and you pay attention and you buy in, I mean, you got to live with those results. But.
Yep, that's all it takes. And ultimately, with the coaching experience I was going to mention, you went from a player coach to just a coaching role. So obviously you had connections with these guys on a different level. And another quote from Bob Murray is that he's one great person, player, coach, players love him. So I'm sure a lot of the boys were happy that it was you stepping on the bench rather than somebody else, right?
Like I said, I think our team identity has been established here over the last 3 years. And I think, we kind of let guys play. Now, like I said, you're not going to, pay attention to the details and you're going to kind of just go through the motions. Well, it's not going to be a good time for you, which, if that's how it is, you don't want to buy in, then you don't have to be here. It's not a yelling and screaming kind of thing, right? I mean, that nowadays is not the same when I played. If I had, Coach Webster yelling at me, I'm not going to shut down and cry about it, right? I mean, I'll be gone the next day. So nowadays, I feel like it's a little different, but I think that's also the relationships you got to build with these guys, and they either trust you or they don't. And it's tough, and especially at this level, because there's a little salary cap; it's not very high, and you need guys to buy in. At the same time, you don't want to lie to them, so you have to give it to them straight. And it seemed to work out for us pretty well, and I'm sure guys haven't been happy with me. At the same time, I hope and feel that down the road they'll realize that was the best way to go about it and respect it. You get some guys that may never feel that way, but that's okay. I'm perfectly fine with that. I can live with that, and I know that I've influenced guys on the positive side of things more so than the negative side. It's something that I definitely take pride in.
Absolutely, man. I'm sure at the end of the day, it's a business, right? So, gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for the organization, I've been here a while, and I have a family as well that you need to support. You need to win some games. You need guys to play the right way, and you need to make sure you're developing guys, especially at the ECHL level. That's a big part of what we want to do, is develop these guys, and it's showing for us, for individuals on our team, which is, translated into us building on team success every year. We had guys last year, this past season, had career year, and they're veteran guys, they're 8, 9 years, or the second, third year guys, and that's individual success. But then, we've made the playoffs, had a pretty good run, up 3-2, and now the experience of up 3-2 didn't step on the throat, and now you got to learn from that next season, right? So that's something that we're building on, and hopefully we can build on it this year.
Absolutely, man. The ECHL can be a developing ground for everyone, every role, right? So that kind of brings me to the wrap-up question here. And you kind of mentioned it yourself with, dabbling in some AHL interviews and stuff like that. But is the goal to move up in the ranks in coaching? Obviously, maybe the ultimate goal to be in the NHL. Or are you just enjoying what you're doing now? Or is it a little bit of both?
No, that's definitely a goal. I mean, I want to move up. And we're affiliated with the Calgary Flames. And, what you do, what I'm doing here as the head coach, with players, off the ice, with what they need, with their prospects, that all goes into goes into play with if it's an interview, they're going to get asked how is John Scott when you dealt with them, things like that. And I want to move up. I'm not in any rush. I feel like there's lots to learn. I feel like sometimes guys, at this league, in this level here, they want to move up a little quick. And I'm not in any rush. I feel there's a lot to learn, and I feel like I said, I've gotten better over the last 3 years, but there's still a lot to learn. The game is changing, yearly, probably even less than that, with what people believe is the way to go with your team, and how to play, and how to defend, and how to attack, and all those fun things. But for me, try to go to those coaches' conferences and all those other things, and try to get into those, and you just listen to what everyone has to say. And things change all the time, and for me, I'm in no rush. At the same time, I'm keeping my eyes open and ears open, and if there's opportunities there, I'm going to poke around. And but again, where I am right now, I'm not going to take for granted. I'm very lucky, and that's something that for right now, I'm happy. Got a big year coming up for our team, and really excited.
It's awesome, man. I mean, obviously the game evolves, and you're still what a lot of people would call a young coach. So you have a new future and a bright future ahead of you. And thank you so much for taking the time to do this, bro.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. That's awesome. I appreciate it very much.
Okay, my name is Drake DeMore. I'm back here on the podcast, and that was John Scott Dixon, a former Windsor Spitfire, on the podcast. He is now the head coach of the Kansas City Mavericks in the ECHL, one of the wildest leagues in North America. He's really rose to the ranks of coaching in a short time, and it looks like he's got a very bright future. I mean, honest to God, he looks like he's got it all figured out and is a hockey guy, you know. Not one of those goons that run around the ice and decided that they wanted to be professional and step on the bench. I think he has a bright future in coaching. And thank you, John Scott, for taking the time to do the interview. But we are going to wrap things up quickly this week on Wind City Sports. Not a ton of news and stuff to talk about. And as mentioned, I will be doing not really a review, but we will have a BCW original on the show next week. And that is when I'm going to break down a little bit of stuff, and I have some comments and thoughts about the tapings and some certain things that happened. So there will be a little bit of spoilers, I guess, and mostly about, you know, the local guys and stuff like that. So catch next week's podcast if you're a wrestling fan. But really quickly, I want to tell you about the Windsor TFC soccer club. They're coming off another big win. They're on a 2-game win streak. They won 1-0 on the road. No, sorry, at home, actually. At Alumni Field, they took on Durham United FA and picked up a 1-0 win. Now they have just 3 games left in the regular season, 2 on the road, 1 tomorrow. Then they'll take a break for the long weekend and then travel out to Mississauga that following week. And then they wrap it all up Friday, August 16th at home at Alumni Field as they welcome the Oakville Blue Devils for an 8 p.m. game. Our St. Clair Green Giants baseball team has wrapped up their 2019 summer season. They had a 3-game series at home that wrapped up on Tuesday with the Michigan Monarchs. And at this point, they are probably anticipating playoffs. So check out stclairgreengiants.com for more information. And as mentioned at the beginning of the show, BCW is holding another wrestling event at the Tecumseh Legion in Tecumseh on August 25th. Again, more on that next week on the pod as we have a BCW original. And that's it this week on Wind City Sports. My name is Drake DeMore, and I'm here every Thursday with a brand new podcast and a brand new episode of the Wind City Sports radio show on CJAM 99.1 FM. In Windsor and Detroit at 12:30, and you can catch replays of the radio show featuring a lot more news and upcoming events and stuff like that on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. But you can catch every single episode of the Wind City Sports podcast on every major podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We also have our own website, windcitysports.com. We are also on the brand new Border City Podcast Network, and hopefully some new and exciting things coming to that soon. So simply just search up Wind City Sports or the Wind City Sports Podcast. Wind City is all one word. You can do that on any podcast page, and as well on any social media. Just search up Wind City Sports, and we're on everything across the board. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. So give us a like, follow, subscribe, whatever it may be. Our handle, if applicable, like on Twitter and Instagram, is @WindCity_sports. And you can follow me, Drake DeMore, on Instagram and Twitter, @DrakeDeMore. So until next week, we'll be back here with a brand new episode. Smell you later.